pledge drive results, programming changes, and we bid farewell and say hello to Wisconsin Public Radio staff. We'll cover these topics and yours on this edition of Mondays with Mike. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8 minutes past 8 o'clock on this Monday, April the 2nd. Often on the first Monday of every month, we are joined by Wisconsin Public Radio's director, Mike Crane, who shares news with you about this service and talks with you about what you hear and what you don't hear on Wisconsin Public Radio. Mike is getting comfortable in the hot seat right now, and he is ready for your calls at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us on Twitter at Joy Cardine Show. Mike Crane is Wisconsin Public Radio's director, and he joins us in the studio. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning. Good to be here.
I hope you had a very nice weekend.
I did. Kind of strange weather. Like, the forecast kept saying, at least down here in Madison, that it was going to get up to 70, and it never did. So the planned bike ride became a shorter bike ride.
Right, right.
Things like that. But
yes,
very nice.
It was, yeah, it was more clouds than sun, I thought, during the weekend. Well, you know, it was it was a kind of a bittersweet day on Friday. Friday was Jean Faraca's last day with Wisconsin Public Radio. She hosted her final Here on Earth show, and I laughed and I cried. How about you?
Absolutely right. There were some very touching moments, and Jean's guest, Luther the Jet, was just wonderful. He sang and he told stories, and the folks that called in remembering listening to Jean over the years and becoming friends with her in some cases called in as well. Very enjoyable in that sense, but at the last moment, also a tear for an era past for WPR.
Yeah, that's right. Well, best of luck to you, Jean. We will miss you. You are missed. With Jean's retirement, that prompts some programming changes. No more Here on Earth at 3 p.m. starting today. What's the new programming lineup for listeners?
So the Ben Maron show, At Issue with Ben Maron's, moves to 3 o'clock. So that'll be 3 to 5 starting today. And then after that, we have a new show for us, that is. Some people have heard it elsewhere, whether it was on XM Sirius or on CBC, and it's called Q. It's the letter Q, and people have asked us, well, what does Q stand for? I don't know.
It's a letter. It's just sort of a question, maybe?
Question, mm-hmm. Or what's next in the queue, as in the sort of British way of saying lining up, you know, queuing up. But it's arts and it's culture, and sometimes the newsy side of that, to be sure. And people will judge for themselves. We'd love to know what people think as they hear it.
Well, you know, Wisconsin Public Radio talk show host Veronica Rickert interviewed the host of Q, Jean Gomeshi, last week. She asked him a little bit about what the show is about. And here's what he had to say.
There's just still this notion in it, and it happens in public radio, and it happens at certain elite levels of culture. I find that to think of pop culture as something that happens sort of over here, and then mainstream culture or important culture is right down the middle. And then you kind of say, well, what is pop culture? Pop culture is The Daily Show. It's documentary movies. It's new media. It's every communication device that everybody's using right now, from iPhones to iPads to Blackberries. I mean, we're surrounded by pop culture. We live pop culture, so it's not these aren't dirty words. But when it comes to entertainment, it has de facto become stand on a red carpet and ask who are you wearing. And not that there's anything wrong with that either. There's a place for that. But the most revelatory thing that happens on this program almost daily is that, you know, there'll be an actor in here or a rock band or something, and the audience will be surprised that this person actually has interesting things to say. And you'll find, well, of course they do, if you just afford them the opportunity to say it.
So, there he is, Jean Gomeshi. And he also told Veronica that he really, really, really wants to be prepared when he does his interviews with his various guests. And he won't even do an interview, Mike, if he hasn't read somebody's complete book and that sort of thing. So he likes to be super prepared, and he wants to ask the questions that you don't hear asked elsewhere. So yeah. he really puts in a lot of effort.
I would say that sounds a lot like our own Terry Gross, who is familiar on the News and Classics Network, and also in Milwaukee, a familiar on WWM. And also, I think this is going to be a good mix with the show after, which is On Point. You know, even listening to Gian just now, I said, it sounds a little like Tom Ashbrook, doesn't he? And I think people will enjoy it, and we look forward to their comments.
Yeah, we do. And why did we think that this particular show on pop culture issues would be a good thing to air on Wisconsin Public Radio?
Well, one thing is, I think Gian has actually kind of gotten at it, which is that to call it pop culture is to indicate that there's a significant separation. But I think of classical music, for instance, that we think of it as the pinnacle of European culture anyway, and in some cases American culture. But in fact, it's a part of our daily lives. I mean, how many commercials have we heard with segments of Carmina Burana, for instance? You know, that, oh, Fortuna. Mm-hmm. You know, I can't quite do the bass part, but it's infused in our lives, and I think that people will, after giving the program a chance, have an opportunity to let us know if we've hit the mark. And, you know, programs change. Probably the more significant reaction I'll expect today is that, as much as we've talked about this for many weeks and so on, and Gene had a farewell show, naturally, many people won't have noticed the change. Because it's talked about, hasn't happened. Today, people will say, well,
what's
happened?
Going on?
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're prepared for that with audience services. They'll be ready to take the calls about that and the emails. But understandably, we're changing people's habits by changing a program schedule. And that has an effect. We understand that.
All right. So we have, again, starting today, new program lineup on the Ideas Network. At Issue with Ben Marins will be on from 3 until 5, and then from 5 until 6 it is Q. And this show, this hour that you're listening to right now, is going to be rebroadcast at 9 p.m. tonight. So
I'm glad you remembered that, and I think probably the most exciting part of that is Tuesdays, because people just love hearing Kevin McKinley, and I think having more access to Kevin's advice, more people getting to hear it, is going to be a really good thing, and all of the 8 o'clock hour shows, but that one in particular, I think people will receive well.
Yes, absolutely. And this one, too, Mondays with Mike, the Friday Week in Review on Fridays, every 8 o'clock hour of the Joy Cardine Show, starting today, will be rebroadcast at 9 p.m. at night, and this is because Here on Earth used to be rebroadcast at 9 p.m. at night, but no more Here on Earth, so
that's right.
We have this for you. And by the way, if you would like to hear the complete interview between Veronica Rickert and Gian Gomeshi, you can go to WPR.org, and you can click on Jean's picture at the top of the homepage. So Veronica interviewing Gian Gomeshi, available online. Well, you know, the other news, Mike, is that we concluded our pledge drive on Friday, the spring membership drive. How did we do?
Well, very well, but not as well as we had hoped. In fact, I was just looking at our intranet, you know, the spot where we can see on the web the stuff that's the inside information. And the very latest total was $785,271 raised,
mm-hmm.
Which is really
that
excellent.
Sounds good.
It does, and it was, and that's from about 7,000 individuals and families. We had hoped to have a little bit more, though. We had planned on a drive totaling more like 7,400 members, and that would add up to about $850,000. So we'll work on other methods. I know we have a pledge drive coming up in May. It's one of those one-day Wednesday things, and we'll try to gear up to make sure that's a big success. And there are other methods, too, and we always run a tight ship, so I prefer to celebrate. I mean, that's a tremendous amount of commitment to WPR, including about 1,500 new members, and that's really excellent.
That is excellent, and it looks here like the Food for 40 thank you gift ended up resulting in 46,000 meals going to area food banks, so that's wonderful, too.
Yes, indeed.
You know, here's my theory, Mike. It's just my theory. The pledge drive, this spring membership drive, was held a little later than it usually is. It was near the end of March, and it was gorgeous out for the most part. It was very warm. It was summer-like for the most part. We used to hold this thing a little bit more in February, where it was a little colder. I'm guessing that maybe one of the reasons that we didn't quite get as many pledges as that people were out and about and not sitting around the fire listening to their radios.
Could be. And you know, we're going to sit down, all of us, in the next few days and try to figure out exactly what the different things might be. One thing that I think we were thinking about is that we allowed a little bit longer time between the December one-day Tuesday and this campaign, but maybe that didn't help in this case. Don't know.
We are talking with Mike Crane. He is the director of Wisconsin Public Radio. Mike is sharing news with us about Wisconsin Public Radio, and he's ready to take your feedback or your questions about all things Wisconsin Public Radio. You can call us at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Tomorrow at this time, certified financial planner Kevin McKinley will be here to give us information and advice on your money. That's tomorrow at this time. Right now, this is Mondays with Mike. I'm Joy Cardine with Mike Crane, the director of Wisconsin Public Radio. Mike joins us once a month to talk with you about Wisconsin Public Radio. Our lines are full right now, but when someone hangs up, there will be an open line for you, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. And before we go to the phones, Mike, we mentioned that Gene Faraca has retired. We say goodbye to Gene. Today, we say hello to a new associate director of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is what you used to be before you were director.
That's right. And it turns out yet another Mike. We have Mike Simonson, one of our news reporters, and Michael Leland, who's our news director. Me and now Mike 2, Mike 4, I'm not sure exactly.
That's funny. That was a popular name. It still is.
Well, and we discovered, of course, that that's true of a lot. We have a number of Cynthias and two Cheryls that work directly with each other and so on. So we'll survive the Mike thing. But I'm really thrilled that he's going to be here and to help provide leadership for programming and take a little bit of the load off of my back and Cheryl Gasser's back. And so it should be a good thing. And Mike has a background most recently at Public Radio International and also has station experience at other state networks, including New Hampshire Public Radio in his past.
Very good. Well, welcome, Mike Arnold. And for listeners, this position isn't exactly, but it's pretty close to what most stations would call a program director.
That's right.
Yeah. So, again, welcome, Mike. And we have another, we have an old employee taking on a new role. He's not exactly old. Rob Ferret, the producer of this show, one of my producers for the Joy Cardine Show, is going to be taking on additional responsibilities. He will, in the future, be filling in for some of our hosts, on-air hosts and producers. He's our new fill-in host producer.
That's right, this is a new position, but one that we've recognized the need for a while, because whenever you go away, we've got to find a substitute, mm-hmm. and the same for all of our hosts. And so that's part of what Rob will be doing. The other thing is that it's not only the host of the show that goes on vacation or is out sick, but all of the producers also need to rotate in and out for their personal lives. And so Rob will be helping in that area as well, including, ironically enough, his first task was to substitute for himself on your show. Soon we'll be posting that position as well.
That's right. That is funny. He's going to be filling in for himself. He happens to be on vacation this week, and no one is filling in for him, by the way. but we'll manage. Let's see. We have, I think for personnel, that's about it, right?
There's a new producer in Milwaukee as well.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And that'll be happening very soon. And it seems like, you know, in a big place like Wisconsin Public Radio, there's sort of a rotation of new people all the time. What I really enjoy, though, is that you probably have found this in your career here, in my 4.5 years here, is that the spirit of the place seems to preserve, that, you know, these incredibly curious, incredibly smart people that I'm lucky enough to work for, that always stays true, no matter who rotates
right,
in. And
right.
that's been one of my thrills of working in public radio, quite honestly.
Well, we'll share some more news about Wisconsin Public Radio personnel and programming as we go along, but I wanted to get to the phones as we have callers waiting. John in Appleton is with us. Hi, John.
Good morning, Joy.
Morning.
Good morning, Mike.
Good to hear you.
Thank you for all you do, and we love being supporters of public radio.
Well, thank you for being a supporter.
No problem. I'm going to miss the first hour of Ben's new time slot because of work. I think that's sad. I am saddened also by the trend, I guess, away from sharing Wisconsinites' intelligence across the nation. And that means the fewer call-in shows that we have where we can actually talk with, like, Joy and her guests and others are going away. I wish we could actually call in to, like, Q, if that was possible. I wish we could also call in to, like, Talk of the Nation.
You can do that.
We can?
Yeah.
It's a live show. It's a live call-in show. You have more competition as callers from all over the country are calling in, but that is a live call-in show.
I didn't realize that. I guess then I just don't like the change that is happening with Ben's show and with this Q.
Because you want to hear a local call-in show at that time.
Absolutely.
And not,
yeah. I work until 4, and I think many people work until 3:30 or 4, and you're going to lose some listeners.
John, thank you so much. What was the rationale or the thought behind, Mike, this Q going at 5 rather than, say, 3?
Well, one of the thoughts actually related more to At Issue, which is that we do see in Wisconsin, and I think this Wisconsin arguably would be what radio people would say is an early market, if you will, is that radio listening is tailing off significantly in the 5 o'clock hour. And while it's true that, you know, some people are in their cars and commuting and have later schedules like John does, a simpler rule of thumb is that there are more listeners at 3 than there are at 5, and certainly 3:30 to 5:30, that will be even more true. And so the idea was to keep our Wisconsin programming exposed to as many people as we possibly could. And actually, At Issue years ago was from 3 to 6. It proved to be too challenging to do the 3 hours for that show. But, John, we certainly will keep that in mind. You know, every talk show requires building up a new staff to produce it and so on. So it will be in our thoughts as we all listen to Q and see what the story is there. You know, the thing I guess I would wonder, and this is, it's just math in a way, now it'll be 8.5 hours a day of local call-ins instead of 9.5 hours a day. So that certainly is an effect, but I think it's still a very substantial opportunity. And the other challenge, you mentioned Talk of the Nation, you definitely can call in there, but one show you can't call into because we have so many good local programs, we tape delay it. Is On Point. I know a lot of people would love to be able to call into On Point as well. That is broadcast live out of Boston in the morning. But because we're chock full of riches like Joy Cardine and Kathleen Dunn and the rest, we aren't able to do that.
Yeah. John, thank you very much for the call. Thank you for supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. And I hope that you will continue to listen and to call in. We have some special programming coming up this month, Mike. Starting tomorrow is it's the Wisconsin spring election and the Wisconsin presidential primary. We're not going to have any special from NPR, but we will have news updates tomorrow night.
That's right. Other than the results of the presidential primary, there are a lot of smaller local races, and we will want to cover those both. If there's something important to report right away, we'll do that tomorrow night. And then on Morning Edition and on your show in the newscasts, You'll also hear reports about that on Wednesday morning.
Yes, and we are planning on having some extended conversations about the results as well on Wednesday morning. I know our 6 to 7 o'clock hour will probably be devoted to that. We also are planning. We don't have everybody lined up yet, as all of the candidates are still circulating their papers. The recall election candidate forums will be the third week. We're planning on the third week of April. We will be inviting all the Democratic challengers, candidates for governor and lieutenant governor, to be on this show, on the Joy Cardine Show. And At Issue with Ben Marins is planning on having all of the candidates running in the primary, the recall primaries for state Senate. So we'll be having a lot of candidates to talk with listeners a little later on in April.
Yeah, and I hope everyone takes the opportunity to listen and, where appropriate, to call in.
And if you would like to call in, we had full lines when we started with Mike Crane, and now we have full lines open for your calls at 1-800-642-1234. Do you have a question about what you hear or what you don't hear on Wisconsin Public Radio? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page, and tweet us on Twitter at Joy Cardine Show. So, and any other special programs coming up in the month of April, Mike?
Oh, we've got lots. One of the things that just continually amazes me is how creative people are in finding fun guests and finding fun things to do. I'll mention Simply Folk as an example. If people had a chance to listen yesterday, they heard the Getaway Drivers live in the studio. There's some folk singer-songwriter folks. And we're keeping that up. Laura Gibson and her band are in on Sunday, April 8th. This is an indie folk group from Portland, Oregon. That's also the listener request show. So if you're thinking of a folk show, folk music you'd like to request, you'll want to tune in for that on April 8th. And then KG and the Ranger, which is cowboy music from the 30s and 40s, is coming up on the 15th, and the Earth Day show is the 22nd. And so that's an example of some fun stuff coming up. We always try to keep things interesting. There's also a old-time radio drama is doing another live gig, and we'll look forward to hearing that from Milwaukee. And
That sounds like fun. I want to go. I heard that last one was a big hit, and I'd love to go to this one coming up. That is on April the 22nd,
yeah,
in Milwaukee,
and that's with the Milwaukee Chamber Theater, and it's an opportunity to see live radio produced. And if it's anything like the one I attended just a few weeks ago, it really will be fun. You know, you have a sense of how the audience that's there needs to be pleased and to have a good show, and so does the radio audience, and that's a bit of a dance, and it's good.
Speaking of watching radio being performed or produced, Larry Mueller is going to be at the Fox Cities Book Festival on Friday, April the 13th, and there will be a live remote broadcast of Garden Talk coming from the Book Festival from 11 until 12:30 on that day.
That's right, and so that'll be heard throughout the network, and if people want to get there early, I'd recommend it, because also there'll be a non-broadcast version of Zorba Pastor on Your Health that'll be from 9 to 10:30, so you can watch that and then get up and stretch and hang out for the live radio broadcast with Larry Mueller, and that's going to all be at the UW Fox Valley campus. It's part of the Fox Cities Book Festival, which takes place in a whole bunch of venues, and we've got just a lot going on with our connection every year with that, and we're thrilled.
Speaking of which, Larry Mueller is a popular guy these days. He's also hosting a tour of gardens in London coming up in July. I know we mentioned it during our spring membership drive, and some lucky supporter of Wisconsin Public Radio is going to win two free tickets to that wonderful tour. But tell us what this is all about. I mean, this is something we're going to do from time to time now, have a host lead a tour somewhere?
Yeah, this isn't actually new. It may feel new because it's Larry and he's going to London, but Kathleen Dunn had just a wonderful trip from all the reports I heard. I didn't get to go, but a really wonderful trip to Washington, D.C., and another time to Springfield. We have trips from within the state. Every year, a couple of our regions will put together a bus trip to go to Big Top Chautauqua. And that, I know that's fun because I've been to Big Top a few times. And so that's an opportunity. And we're looking at other trips. There's certainly what some people would call a friend-raiser. But also, in some cases, stations are able to use them as fundraisers. So we're trying to figure out what the right balance of that is. Of course, it's going to take a big commitment on Larry's part to be off. And I wouldn't be surprised if
Rob Ferret will be on. Yeah, maybe.
Rob Ferret on there once in a while, as well as Larry's producer, Judith Sears-Poisson.
That's true.
And so we'll miss Larry during that time, but I know people will have an incredible time in London.
Yeah, and more information, I'm sure, is on our website, WPR.org.
That's right.
Now, callers are lining up again. Sally in Prescott is with us now. Hi, Sally.
Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning to you, too, Mike.
Hi.
I love Wisconsin Public Radio, but I live in Prescott, Wisconsin, which is right on the border to Minnesota. So I like to listen to Wisconsin Public Radio to get the news of Wisconsin, which is hard to find here. Wisconsin Public Radio is Joy Cardine for 3 hours in the morning for me, because while I'm upstairs listening, I can get Wisconsin Public Radio, but then downstairs I don't have coverage for it. So I'm wondering, is there any talk about having more power? Or and another thing that I don't care about is that the college takes over the Wisconsin Public Radio in the afternoon and the evening, so then I don't get to hear it at bedtime.
Yeah, there are not near-term plans to improve coverage there. We are looking at the signals all over the state all the time to see if there's an opportunity for improvement. There rarely is, unfortunately. In fact, you mentioned the college. One of the ways that we have tried to extend WPR where we can is to make arrangements with some of the college radio stations, and even not in your area, but there are two high school stations in our network. And the challenge is for you is that the students also want to do their radio shows, and it's part of our arrangement with them to make sure that they can. In fact, in some cases, those turn into future WPR employees because they've gained experience in college in doing radio. So from WPR's perspective, at least that part is really good. The challenge, of course, in Prescott is you are really close to all of the Twin Cities media, and most of the signals are oriented toward that area, and that really is a challenge. I agree.
There was a comment in our listener logs, as we call them. Every email or phone call that goes into our audience services center is recorded, so we can respond. Someone wanted to know, I have heard a rumor that Wisconsin Public Radio will be establishing a new signal from the Hill in Duluth on 88.5 FM. A quick check of the FCC database has some technical information like proposed antenna height and effective radiated power. It appears the application is at the construction permit stage. There also seems to be a religious station currently at 88.5. Could you confirm any plans for this frequency and what you will carry on it?
Yes, that's not just a rumor. It's true. And that sounds like a listener who's done significant research to know the construction permit and the effective radiated power. That's great. In fact, it has a call sign already. We've reserved the old call sign for KUWS, and it's WSSU. And we are planning to have that up if all goes well, including the fundraising campaign we need to do to finish paying for it. As early as this fall. So we're just beginning work on what that's going to mean. And it is possible that there's a distant 88.5 that's heard on that frequency right now. And if in fact that means some listeners to that station might lose something, that does happen. I know that when we put our new station up in Ashland, that a couple of people that had been listening to a distant station from across the lake no longer could receive that. And it's a trade-off, thinking back to the question about Prescott. If we were able to improve the signal there, we might cause a problem for someone else. So that's the balance that all radio stations are trying to squeeze through, you know.
Yes, there was another comment that came into audience services. Your signal strength is too weak on the east side of Milwaukee. I've tried everything with my antenna to get better reception, but nothing works. It seems to come in better at night. I know I can listen online, but that has drawbacks. Milwaukee needs a stronger signal. I think dedicated listeners like me wouldn't mind a campaign to fundraise specifically for this cause. How about that?
Oh, I agree. Here's the challenge. The station that reaches Milwaukee is WHAD in Delafield. And just the way that FM radio works, the easiest way to imagine it is that it's as if you were holding a flashlight up and shining it toward wherever you're listening.
Right, right.
And if there is something in the way, buildings or hills or whatever, that can somewhat block, just like it could block the light. You might see the halo of light around the building, let's say, if you were shining a light toward you. Same thing happens with FM signals, and they bounce around a bit, just like light can bounce off of a building. And the east side of Milwaukee is very challenged. It's not only our signal. There are a number of signals that are really challenged in that area. And we would love to have another station there. To actually acquire a station, which seems to be the only option, is to buy one that exists. There aren't any opportunities. We tried to find one that we could put in new. It's probably a couple of million-dollar prospect. And so if that individual is saying that they have an angle on a couple million dollars, they might want to give us a call, but that's the challenge there.
Mike, I want you to know that I did buy a Mega Millions lottery ticket with the hope that I would win and give some of it to Wisconsin Public Radio. I thought maybe with $640 million I could afford to...
A station or two?
Yeah, but no luck, sorry.
Dang.
Yeah, so maybe better luck next time.
Apparently, you could have been elected president more likely than winning that.
So is that right?
That's what I heard, is the odds of becoming president were better than the odds of winning that.
I believe it. Well, since we're on reception, let's go to Mary and Stevens Point for one more call about, I guess, the reception in the Stevens Point area,
yeah.
Mary?
Yeah. I live in Stevens Point, and I love the Ideas Network, and I'm so thrilled that I'll be able to listen to you at night now, Joy.
Oh, good.
I don't often get up real early. But anyhow, a couple months ago, I communicated with WPR about the signal, the Ideas Network signal coming from, I guess it's southwest of me. We get 9 a.m. 9:30 in the daytime and then 89.1 at night. And they said there was a transmitter out or
yes,
something.
There was.
But is it fixed now?
It is.
It is, because it's better now. But again, this is just another signal complaint, and I probably should just get a HD radio. But
that wouldn't actually help you in this case.
Really?
Let me correct that. An HD radio tuned to WLBL would help.
Okay.
Or to WHRM there as well. Because we do have the Ideas Network on that HD radio signal. I had forgotten about that.
Okay.
So yes, that would help you in Point.
Yeah, because, you know, it's like the lady from Prescott, you know, upstairs I can get one, downstairs I can get the other. In my car, I sort of switch back and forth, and it's frustrating because I, you know, I've got the Ideas Network on all the time.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I'm looking at the signal map for WHAA, this is the 89.1 FM, and while it shows that it reaches Stevens Point, the signal is not super strong there, and so... the other thing you could do is to, if you have a radio with an external antenna, some people that have an old stereo with their LP player out will have that, they can actually, online or at Radio Shack or wherever, you can look for an FM dipole antenna, but you have to have a radio you can attach the antenna to. Here's another secret you might try with that. With a lot of, like clock radios, for instance, your power cord actually acts as a kind of antenna. And so sometimes by simply moving that power cord to a different switch and extending that out, you can sometimes improve a signal just by using the power cord.
Thank you so much, Mary. Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling. If you have a question for Mike Crane, Wisconsin Public Radio's director, we have time for you at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can always post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page as well. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine with Mike Crane, the director of Wisconsin Public Radio. We're talking about the latest news and happenings surrounding Wisconsin Public Radio and taking your calls and questions. We've already talked about the new programming changes that start today, including Ben Maron's At Issue with Ben Maron, starting at 3 o'clock this afternoon and going until 5. Then the show from the CBC Q will be on from 5 until 6. This particular hour of the Joy Cardine Show will be repeated at 9 o'clock tonight. So that's the changes that were put in place because of the retirement of Gene Faraca. Here on Earth, and Gene Faraca have retired from the Wisconsin Public Radio airwaves. Let's take another call for Mike. Joe in Stone Bank. Hello, Joe.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My wife and I have recently moved up to the Stone Bank area from Chicago, and we've got very comfortable with WBEZ. And at the noontime, there is a gentleman named Jerome McDonald who has a program called Worldview. And this is a one-hour segment in which he'll have two or possibly three representatives from groups that have a particular concern on an international basis. And it's very mind-expanding, and I know you have just gone through probably a painful process to get to the changes that you're making, but for the next iteration of that, if you'll bear that in mind, I think that many of your listeners who are more internationally minded would find this interesting.
So tell me the name of that again.
It's called Worldview.
Worldview, okay.
The host is Jerome McDonald.
Yep. All right. Well, we'll look into that. Thanks so much for the suggestion, and welcome to Wisconsin as well.
Yeah, thank you so much, Joe, for that suggestion. Our next caller is Dave in Appleton. Hello, Dave.
Good morning.
Hi, Dave.
Hi. First, I want to tell you, I am a WPR junkie. I listen more than probably it's good for me.
No, there's never too much of that.
And I'm just wondering, and I don't mean this in a negative way, but what is your policy on frequent callers, sort of, or how many calls a week or something like that? I think listeners like myself know who I'm talking about here, so.
Yeah, well, tell me what, Dave, are you maybe irritated to hear the same callers on it more than you'd like to hear them on?
Guess so. I'd like to hear more people's point of view, and I have a feeling some of these are keeping them from, you know, getting on. I don't know. It just seems like some of them are calling about every 2 hours every day.
You know? Well, there's a couple that try to do that, yeah.
From a broad policy perspective, the idea is that people will mostly self-police, that we ask them not to call very often. And, Joy, maybe you could state the policy exactly.
Right. We've had a policy that we used to state on air frequently and do not any longer. One per week. We ask listeners to limit themselves to one call per week. And sometimes our on-air producers, if they recognize a caller who has already been on during a given week, will remind that particular caller of our policy. But, you know, sometimes I guess some callers will slip through and get on more than once a week. But that's the policy, Dave, is one per week.
So in the case of your show now, if somebody calls in at 7 o'clock today, they couldn't call any time until next week aren't supposed to?
They're not supposed to.
Even at 8 o'clock tomorrow?
Yeah, that's the idea. Yeah. But, of course, there are a few challenges there.
Yeah.
One is that, you know, if they call the afternoon show and they hadn't noticed and the person isn't self-policing, sometimes people will slip through that way. The other thing that happens, it actually happened today with this show, where we had the phones all filled up and took a call, and who knows what else happened. People's cell phone line dropped, or we answered their question, or whatever. All of a sudden, all the phone lines were open again. And so sometimes you face a decision about whether to take the call that's there, even if it's the person who's called in the past.
Yeah, I get it. I don't want to take more of your time.
Yeah,
I just
sure.
What
no.
policy
it's
was.
It's a very common question, though, Dave, so thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Dave, for the call. So, what's your question? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org or post on the Joy Cardin Show Facebook page. Not to belabor the point, but we also give listeners a break from that policy. Callers, we don't count if we do an open line, for example, for program suggestions. That doesn't count to the one per week policy. Sometimes once in a great while we'll do a straw poll and we say that doesn't count, you know, but so you might hear a caller on more than once a week. So Chris in Madison is with us next. Hello, Chris.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
Let me first mention that I think Larry Mueller is your great underused resource there. And while I think he's pretty fat and happy doing what he's doing, if he ever wants to spread his wings and do something else, I'd really like to hear you give him the chance to.
Like what, Chris?
I just do more talk shows that on subjects other than gardening.
Okay, subjects other than gardening. All right.
Mm-hmm. Well,
which of course he does.
Yeah, but you're thinking that he'd also do well with maybe more political coverage or things like that, or what sort of things would you be interested in hearing more?
The kind of things I hear with the other folks.
Okay,
so
well,
not just politics, but politics, including politics.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I'm sure Larry would appreciate your comment about being fat and happy. Mm-hmm. I know he is happy. He's one of the happiest guys I know, in fact. But this particular month, we're keeping him very busy. He's going to be at the Milwaukee Listener Dinner, I think is it this week? And then we have him at the Eau Claire Listener Dinner coming up later in the month. And so we've got him. Oh, and then we mentioned the live broadcast that's coming up at the Fox Cities Book Festival. So this month, at least, we've got him going.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that you enjoy him very much.
Yeah, but
right.
You had another suggestion, I see, Chris.
Right. Actually, the real reason I called is that I was disappointed for the second time in during your fundraiser, one of those that's not coordinated with National Public Radio, that I'll name the particular show. Wait, don't tell me that you gave us an old show, even though they had one. They had a new one broadcast that week, and of course that's a very topical show. And so I know you've got a dilemma, but I really do wish that you could find another way around it so that you don't shortchange us and give us second-rate programming.
Oh, I see. So yeah. we used a fundraising program from Wait, Don't Tell Me,
yeah.
Instead of the show that was offered that week.
It's the same dilemma with What Do You Know? We've had situations where we're live in Madison for the country, but not on our station because we're broadcasting the fundraiser. And the challenge is with live shows, it's very difficult to figure out how to come in and out of them with the pledge breaks. I've been there and done that, so to speak, with some shows. I remember in the old days when we used reel-to-reels that you would have to set up the system where you'd have three reel-to-reel players going and you'd start the show live, and you'd be rolling a reel-to-reel tape, and then you'd figure out a time to turn it down and start doing the fundraising break. Meanwhile, someone's listening to that tape to hear the next possible break, and they played another tape. It's just crazy. So difficult to accomplish, but I really do get what you're saying.
Is there a reason why we don't coordinate this and all stations do it on the same week that it's done nationally?
You know, we NPR stations are a contentious lot, I think. there were attempts. They used to have the coordinated week, and then inevitably some stations said, well, we can't do it there because, and I'd say there was a stretch where more stations did overall, and then it kind of waned.
Mm-hmm.
And so NPR now provides some fundraising materials around the same time as the old coordinated weeks, but that's it. They don't do a coordinated week of fundraising anymore.
Thank you very much, Chris, for the call.
Thanks.
Stella in Sturgeon Bay is with us. Hi, Stella.
Hi. Excuse me. I called with one idea, and a couple other ideas have popped up here, too.
All right.
In response to the last caller, I caught that dilemma on the, I believe it was This American Life that he was,
He said, wait,
don't tell me.
But it happens with pretty much all of the national shows.
Yeah.
Right. What I ended up doing was, on both of those actually, I ended up going to their webpage and listening to their archive of this of the week's show. So I was able to, you can get, if you have internet access.
Yeah. Darn, we didn't have you captive, huh?
And a suggestion that came into my mind during the pledge drive is we are regular contributors to WPR. We're members, and we contribute annually. And what I'm wondering, and especially with the HD radios, I'm wondering if it would be possible to have a member perk be that during pledge drives you can listen on a designated channel to uninterrupted programming.
I'm smiling because I've heard that before, and what a great idea. I wonder if it's possible, Mike.
Well, you know, it has been tried in one station. I think it was KQED in San Francisco, and I'll be curious to learn how well that did. Here would be the dilemma with the Ideas Network. We'd be running repeat programs all the time then because, say, this show, for instance, we're in the midst of all the fundraising, so the uninterrupted programming would be a repeat. So that might not – it might solve one problem and create another, if you will. But it is something that listeners ask for periodically. Our biggest challenge, honestly, would be that it would require us to produce two radio stations at the same time, and that from a cost of people time would be a real challenge because the fundraiser is already a time when everyone's schedules are disrupted and that sort of thing. But I really do understand that desire.
Thank you, Stella. And Stella, her original program recommendation was The Story with Dick Gordon.
Yeah, there were a number of different programs that we've looked at. The Story was on WUWM in Milwaukee for a while, and I asked them about that, and they said, yeah, we like the show, but our listeners didn't seem to very much. It was something they decided to take off. So that was something we were thinking about as we were considering all the different possibilities.
Stella, thank you. We have more callers and running short on time, so I'm going to Paul in Washington County now. Hi, Paul.
Hi, good morning.
Morning.
Hi.
Good morning. The question I have is, this is one of the crown jewels of the state of Wisconsin. But, you can only take so many crops of hay off a field a year, and you're playing to the same audience. My question is, there's about 5 million plus people in this state. Tell me how many people listen or are aware of the state radio network. And, for example, do you advertise on other radio stations? Do you have other methods of advertising to enlighten the citizens that don't even know this service exists?
Thank you, Paul. We have just a minute to go.
Yeah, the challenge is other radio stations don't want you to tune away to our station, but we do try to tell people through a lot of trade arrangements for print ads, that sort of thing, with an increasing number of magazines, occasionally newspapers, and certainly in the programs of all of the different arts groups, because we know we share a lot of potential audience, at least with those, and sometimes actual audience. And the answer to your first question, Paul, is that the Arbitron surveys tell us that listening to public radio, counting WUWM, it reaches more than 10% of Wisconsin every week. And if you look at a multi-week figure for that, it would get up to 15 to 20% of the entire state will have tuned in over the course of a month. And so that's, as radio stations go, that's pretty darn good. Because radio is so divided up into different audiences.
Well, we'll leave it there for now, Mike. I guess we will probably be talking to you again on the second Monday of May because you have a son graduating from college or something?
Yes, I do. Go Gators. He's a graduate of the University of Florida in just a month.
All right. Well, Mike Crane will join us again next month for another edition of Mondays with Mike. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.